A few years ago in the Philippines, a lady took me aside to ask me a question, and it's how they do it over there. She took me aside and she said to me, "Pastor George, do you believe in Christmas?" And I almost answered quickly, "Oh yeah, of course I do." But having learnt from the Philippines to clarify everything, I decided to ask what she meant by Christmas. "What do you mean by Christmas?" I said. She said, "You know, someone who goes through all the trouble of with the trinkets and the, you know, decking the halls and the lights and the big Santa on the lawn and whatever else." I was so grateful I asked for clarification. I told her, "I love Christmas when it pointed to the birth of Jesus. And I love Christmas on the positive areas, but I didn't really love the rest of it." The following month, I was downtown talking to a man about the church. And out of the blue, he said to me, "Do you think I'm a Christian?" And in my mind, I kept thinking, "Oh, how do I put this through?" The man is not interested in spiritual things. He has no interest. He's never been to church. But he asked me this question, "Do you think I'm a Christian?" And before I answered, I stopped and said, "Can you tell me what you mean by Christian? And he said, "Well, you know, a decent sort of person, a nice person." Phew. Okay, well, yes, he was a decent person. He was a nice person. See, clarification is so important. Lawyers and people who deal with words learn to define terms early on. You can have a massive long argument about two things that actually mean the same thing. This morning we look at the phrase, "Judge not or you'll be judged." A phrase that is well known in our world. A phrase that is even used by people outside the church. This phrase has been bandied around like a kind of a get-out-of-jail card to anyone who wants to do their own thing. It seems that a person can break every single commandment in the Bible. And if anyone points attention to that sin, out comes the phrase. And it's a powerful weapon. This is a phrase, it's not only in the Bible, it comes from the lips of Jesus. It's in red letters. "Judge not or you'll be judged." As we shall see, the word "judge" by Jesus here is used negatively. It means to condemn someone, to despise someone, to revile someone who doesn't meet our standards. It means really to have a judgmental attitude that looks for faults in others. Standing at the checkout at Woolies, you look at the magazines, just the front cover of the magazine, and there was the question was this: Tom Hanks' son, Chet, was having problems with drug addiction. Big heading. People will buy that. Then there's a tantalising story about a celebrity caught cheating with his wife, on his wife. You see, we love to hear that. We want to hear what actually happened. The minute we hear someone say, "Hey, have you heard what happened to so-and-so?" our ears prick up, hoping it's juicy. A Spanish proverb goes like this. It says that gossip is halfway around the world while truth is still tying up its shoelaces. Isn't that beautiful? A gossip is halfway around the world and truth is still tying up its shoelaces. In John chapter 8, the masters of condemnation, the Pharisees, brought in a woman caught in adultery. And here she is in the middle of this crowd, hostile crowd. She doesn't protest her innocence. She knows her sin is real. But the Pharisees point out her worthlessness. She's a wretched person. She has no name. She's an object of disgust. And to the Pharisees, this sinful woman has no value whatsoever. And so Jesus tells those who want to be not only her judge, but also her executioner. He says to them, "Go ahead and stone her, provided that you yourselves haven't committed any sin." And the Bible tells us that beginning with the oldest ones first, they all left. They all went away. "Where are they?" Jesus asked the woman. "Has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she replied. "Well then, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." You see, there is a judging where you label sin as sin, and that's a good thing. That's what Jesus does here. He actually tells the woman to leave her life of sin. He has made a judgment. You are morally wrong. And there is a judging that simply delights in fault finding. One that makes the person who found the fault feel righteous. We can be so generous, we can be so accepting, we can be so patient with our own faults and our own sins, and so critical of the smallest sins in others. It's this eagerness to condemn, to criticise, to slander that Jesus condemns here. It's not that believers should be blind to sin, as some think this passage means. It's about judging in a judgmental style. We see this with a church that adopts a very lax attitude towards sin. There are some people in this particular church, Christians, who thought, you know, judging is very unchristian. Who am I to judge? Let's have a loving attitude. This church is in Corinth, and Paul is writing to them to help them against this twisted view of sin. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you of a kind which does not even occur among the pagans. A man is sleeping with his stepmother. And you are proud. Shouldn't you rather be filled with grief and expel the man from your fellowship? Even though I am not physically present with you, I am with you in spirit, and I have already judged the person. Your boasting is not good." Isn't that amazing? How good are we as a church? We accept all lifestyles. We judge nobody. Live and let live is our motto. We can celebrate same-sex marriage. We don't mind polygamy, sex outside of marriage. We accept whatever society accepts. It doesn't matter. Is that how we are to deal with sin as a church? Well, friends, in Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus says, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him your fault, his fault. And just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you've won your brother over." Jesus does not say, "If your brother sins against you, ignore his sin. It's none of your business." He does not say, "If your brother sins, leave him alone and continue as if nothing has happened." How is it loving to see someone who professes faith in Christ, who is entangled in sin, and we just go, not my business? How is that loving? Natalie Wood, who lived in Surry Hills, Sydney, had been dead for 8 years when she was found. She was 78 years old. None of her neighbours inquired about her absence. None of her relatives, none of her friends. The power was cut off. The mail was cut off. No one inquired. And when they asked what happened, some people said, "Oh, we noticed something wasn't right, but you know, we just keep to ourselves. We mind our own business." That's the attitude of the world, isn't it? 8 years. That may be how the world operates. It is not how we are to think as the people of God. In Romans 14, the apostle defines what it means to judge others. He says this, he says, "You must not condemn a man whose conscience is weak, who refuses to eat meat that's offered to idols. Who are you to judge him? Why do you judge your brother and look down on him?" Notice Paul is here defining judgment. It's not someone who distinguishes between sin. It's someone who looks down on somebody else. It's someone who condemns other people. You see, as followers of Jesus, we are all called to condemn all sin, my sin as well as your sin. But we must never, ever judge the value of the person, for that is only something that God can do. You can judge the sin. The sin is wrong, but you must never condemn the person. You see, if we are perfectly honest, we'd have to admit that we have an incredible ability, a gift, if you like, to see faults in others. We can spot it a mile away, but we don't see those faults in ourselves. We see this example with King David. King David was angry when Prophet Nathan came and told him about a certain rich man who took away the neighbour's lamb to cook for his guests. David, we are told, was livid. "That man deserves to die," he says. And yet, just yesterday, David was not in the least conscience stricken by adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. This is hypocrisy in full form. You see, contrary to what many people believe out there, Jesus is not saying to believers, do not make judgments about the lives of your brothers and sisters. He's not saying that. And yet this is the most common understanding of this passage. Instead, Jesus shows us exactly what he is condemning, and that is found in verse 3. Here we have, in verse 3, a person with a tiny speck in his eye. But lucky for him, there is a brother who spots that speck from a long way away. And out of the goodness of his own heart, he comes and says, let me remove that speck from your eye. The only problem here, says Jesus, is the speck inspector has himself got a massive plank sticking out of his eye. And so Jesus asks the question, how in the world can you see the speck in your brother's eye and yet pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? First, remove the log from your own eye and then you can see clearly to help your brother. You see, it's a process. It's not mind your own business. Unlike Natalie Wood's neighbours, it is our duty as followers of Jesus not only to consider our walk with the Lord, but to consider our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says in Philippians 2, each of you should not only look to your own welfare, but also the welfare of others. It would have been much easier, I think, if Jesus had said, don't point out the sins to believers, leave them alone. It would have been much easier if Jesus had said, don't concern yourselves with those caught in sin, it's not worth the hassle. But he doesn't say that. Galatians 6, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are mature should restore him gently. So you can see those who use the phrase, judge not or you'll be judged, they think it just simply means leave people alone. And yet Jesus, the Apostle Paul and all the biblical writers would say to us, you know, sin is compared to yeast in the Bible. Sin never stays small. It permeates through the whole body of Christ. To allow sin to go unchallenged in the body of Christ is to call God's judgment on the entire church. We think individually. We think, well, it's none of my business what he does, what she does. That's her concern. In Revelation 2:14, the Lord holds the entire church accountable because some of the members are ignoring the sins of other members. Jesus says this, I have this against you, for you have people in your church who hold to the teaching of Balaam. A few verses later, he says this, I have this against you. You tolerate those who mislead my people into sexual immorality. You tolerate them. Now, friends, we need to be very clear. The discussion on judging is a discussion of within the body of Christ. It only concerns people who profess to be followers of Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. It's none of my business, really, what my non-Christian neighbours do. You see, when they sin, they are not being hypocrites because they do not pretend to live by God's word. But the church is made up of God's people who are called to live holy lives, pure lives. And when those who profess one thing do the opposite, we bring Christ's name into disrepute and we rubbish the name of the Christian faith. Mahatma Gandhi loved to read the New Testament, and he was particularly impressed with a Sermon on the Mount. One day he decided to go to church, hoping to find some comfort for his soul. Unfortunately, he went to a church that was full of Pharisees. As he came to the door of the church, an usher met him. And looking him up and down, he said to him, you know, you should really go and worship with your own kind of people. Gandhi left and never returned. He despised the Indian caste system, and here he was, seeing it into the Christian faith. One hypocrite changed perhaps the course of history. Imagine what would have happened if Gandhi had met a gracious Christian who exuded the love of Christ and not the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Jesus did not rebuke the Pharisees for judging. He condemned them for using their own standard in judging. He says in John 8, "You judge by human standards." And the solution for Christians is not simply to stop judging. It's not simply to mind my own business. It's to stop judging according to human standard. As a church of God, we need to help each other when we're going astray, but not by our standard, by the word of God. This is why the whole passage applies to believers only. Because as believers, we agree there is one foundation, the word of God, that we mutually stick to. But sadly, I have to say, not everyone sticks to it. We should not be naive enough to think that if I go to a person and show them the Bible, someone who is caught in sin, they will humbly repent and thank you for putting yourself in the firing line. That will not always happen. We see one of the possible responses as we come to verse 6, the hardest part of this passage. And if you've ever gone to someone that you've cared for and you've tried to warn them about the dangers you see in their journey, you'll know why this is so difficult to implement. It may surprise you, but friends, we are not happy. We're not always happy when people point out our shortfalls. For those who do not want to change, for those who actually enjoy their sin and rebellion, you are not endearing yourself to them by pointing out God's standard and showing that their lifestyle does not meet that. This is the wisdom we need. As we deal with people, it's the context that Jesus gives us the warning in verse 6. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them underfoot and tear you to pieces. We've heard this verse many times out of context, but here it is in the context of the passage. You see, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, warn a divisive person once, warn him a second time, and after that have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a person is warped and sinful, and he is self-condemned. You see, to keep going back and back again to a person who's rejected correction over and over again is foolish. To go to a person who is reveling in sin and has no indication of wanting to repent, to offer this is foolish. The Apostle Paul and Jesus here telling us really that the offer that we have is precious. It's priceless. Jesus has given us the opportunity to repent by the purchase of his blood and to throw this wonderful gift to people who are enjoying their sin and have no indication, no willingness to turn, is like throwing pearls to the pigs. I've had weddings here where the wedding party has turned up to church half drunk, and knowing it was pointless to put before them God's eternal truth, I've just moved on with the wedding and skipped that part. It is casting pearl among swine. If we take our faith seriously, we need to be the sort of people that welcome a gentle warning. If we take our faith seriously, we need to encourage those who care for us to warn us when they see us going astray. If we take our sin seriously and knowing its effect, we need to realise there are times when we are blind because our heart's desire is going in one direction and we do not want to see the truth. And I hope that at that time we have people who will come and lovingly remind us of God's truth. So what is Jesus saying in this passage? He is saying that anyone who condemns or who looks down or who slanders another brother will have the same measure used on him. He is not saying, don't point out the errors in others from God's word, but ensure that you've dealt with the sin yourself and that you come humbly and lovingly to deal with the speck in your brother's eye. Jesus tells us we need to be wise in who we offer this gracious gift. It is not to be given to those who continue to enjoy their sinful life, but only those who humbly repent, just like King David. The world says, go follow your heart's desire. It says, do what you feel like doing. Go with your passion. But the followers of Jesus must not live like that. It's not our heart's desire or our feelings that ought to be our guide. It's the Word of God, the unchanging Word of God. Let us continue to judge both our own sin and look out for the sins of our brothers and sisters. See, if we do it from the Bible, if we do it lovingly, it will always be gracious, it will always be gentle, and it will always be with a desire to bring that person back to Christ, from one sinner helping another sinner. I pray that there may be people in your life and mine today who love us enough to take us aside privately and remind us of the sin that is lurking there. May the Lord give us the grace to be receptive to a warning, to see that loving action not as condemnation, but as genuine concern, to thank a brother or sister who does that. There are two types of people, says Jesus, who judge. There are those who judge rightly and biblically, and they bring peace, they bring joy, they bring correction. And there are those who are judgmental. They bring division, they bring hurt, they bring slander. And Jesus says they will face the same measure themselves. Likewise, there are two responses. One response, the Bible says, is to win your brother over. As the Spirit convicts the believer, they will see the error of their way and turn. But there is sadly another response, one that reveals the true spiritual heart of the person that is warned. It is to such people we need to pray for. Pray for wisdom. It is to such people that Jesus says, be careful. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. You and I will never know the response beforehand that we'll receive, but we can be certain that our task is to look after our brothers and sisters. It's God's task as to what their response will be. Will it be reconciliation and healing as they heed God's voice? May we be people who do not judge by human standards, but by the Word of God. May we not be like Cain, who says, am I my brother's keeper? Well, friends, the answer is a resounding yes, you are. If you are part of a church, you are part of a family, and we belong to God's family, and we need to be looking after each other. The next time someone says, judge not or you'll be judged, remember, it's a corrective. It's a corrective against the hypocritical Pharisees. And as members of God's people, we need to be looking out, praying for and encouraging others. It's not be judgmental, it's being godly and obedient to God's word. May we be the people, that others will feel comfortable to come to us and say, you know what, that wasn't actually helpful or biblical or right. Let us pray together. Father, we pray not for others firstly, we pray for ourselves. We pray that we may be people who aren't so sensitive that we cannot even listen to what your word says. Father, we pray this morning that your word will be our guide. We pray that you will give us such a desire and heart that you will help us to be prayerful for others. Help us not to be careless as members of a body, but help us, Lord God, to seek to bless each other. Father, we pray that you remove from us the plank, remove from us the judgmental view, but help us to judge rightly by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.